On the other side, fear is freedom. What that fear is or what freedom means will be very different for everyone. But I will go as far as to say that no great art comes out of comfort. To make something truly special, there needs to be that friction. Without friction, you can't light the spark. Keep it going. Picture this. You're a shy kid growing up in a small town, surrounded by hardly any art. Everyone around you is sort of just doing the same thing every week. You want out. You want to make art. You want to do something that you feel is meaningful. Where do you begin? First, you have to decide, are you going to face the discomfort and head on and embrace it and, you know, deal with the friction? Or are you going to let that spark inside you die out? I'm your host, Jacob Johnson, and this is the My Art Is Real podcast, a narrative journey into the lives that shape art. Today's episode, Lee Ellis. Right after the break. The My Art Is Real podcast is a fully independent endeavor. If you enjoy the show, consider collecting one of my limited edition prints on myartisrael.com. Each one is made with love here in the studio and in collaboration with previous guests and friends. You can also show that support on Patreon. By signing up, you will get never-before-heard bonus clips, access to physical zines and stickers, delivered right to your mailbox, and discounts on prints, and so much more. Thank you for your support. Now back to the episode.
So I am Lee Ellis. I'm a British painter based in Bristol, UK, and I paint predominantly portraits. Slightly weird portraits.
And where did you grow up exactly?
So I grew up in Cheltenham, which is about 45 minutes drive away. And I moved to Bristol for university, where I studied graphic design. And I met my wife, well, now wife, at university, actually in the cinema. We worked in the cinema. We went to different universities in Bristol, met at the cinema, and yeah, still together. So some like 20 years later.
And did you enjoy living there as a kid? Did you enjoy growing up there?
I'd describe Cheltenham as a bit of a sleepy town. Maybe not so sleepy. There's stuff going on. It's famous for its racecourse, but it's relatively small. And so moving from a small town to a city, that was the main difference, is there's more going on here in the city. But growing up there, it was a nice place. It was, yeah, just a nice little town. I was very much ready to leave, though. I was happy to get out and explore, because I felt like, even at such a young age, I just felt like everyone was doing the same thing over and over. And there was only so many options there. So I thought, well, no, I don't want that.
Lee was surrounded by people who were doing what I call living for the weekend, doing the same thing week after week, just so they can party on the weekend. And he just knew that life wasn't for him. He needed something more.
Every weekend, we would go out to the same place and do the same things. It was just very repetitive. Every weekend would be exactly the same. It would just be a carbon copy of the one before. So, like, yeah, and so it just got a bit boring. There's nothing really arty or creative there. So I knew I wanted to work creatively. I wasn't 100% sure I wanted to be an artist, actually.
Like we've heard time and time again on this show, Lee was no different from many of the other artists. He started drawing at a super young age, and he really never stopped.
Yeah, drawing every day, constantly scribbling. Like throughout school, it was on notebooks and whatever, you know, workbooks and things like that, and just scribble, doodle things. I remember being as a kid, I was in, I think it was not long after I started secondary school, so I must have been about 13. 14, South Park came out, basically. One of my cousins asked me to draw some of the South Park characters, so I started doing that. And I didn't realize he was selling them to his friends at school, just these different versions of the South Park characters. So, always drawing, always creating. Not always good stuff. It was just constant. And it's kind of similar to now, constantly creating, and only about, you know, I do an absolute fuck ton of paintings and only like two are actually good.
Already as a kid, he's being taken advantage of for his artistic talents. But no worries, though. Lee doesn't seem to mind it at all. I mean, it was just South Park drawings. They weren't massive paintings or anything. I mean, I do wonder, though, if any of these people maybe still have some of these drawings in a box somewhere. It would be some of Lee's first ever artworks. Now, I grew up around kids who were always talking about going to college and parents who were encouraging it constantly. Lee had a totally different experience. Not only were most of his friends not interested in college at the time, but it seemed like his parents really weren't on board either.
I couldn't think of another thing to do at the time. I thought, I want to be creative. I want to make a living from it so that I can keep doing those great things. And that seemed like the best option. Yeah, and my parents were supportive. Yeah, definitely. I think they were shocked about the going to university. I don't know. I don't really know their thought process on that. So I can really comment. I remember my dad taking me to my grand's to essentially try and talk me out of going. Because I don't know, they just seem to be, I guess, scared of something, scared of education, scared of me not coming back, which obviously it didn't come back. It was very strange.
But Lee didn't let that discourage him. He packed up his things and went off to the big city for university. So the city life, how did it compare to what you were used to?
Oh, I felt really cool. It was so I'd been to the city before to skateboard. So I knew it a little bit and I really liked it. But yeah, moving there, it was just, it felt so much bigger. It's not a big city really in the UK. It's not at all, but it felt it, you know, being 19 and moved out, you know, I'm on my own essentially. Yeah, it felt bigger, but felt cool. It was exciting. It was really exciting.
And starting uni and everything, how was that experience for you?
Well, I certainly wasn't the most confident in terms of talking to people. I'm a bit more now. Quite a bit more. I'm a lot more confident now. Who am I kidding? But yeah, back then I was really, really shy, painfully shy. And I found that side of things, the social side, really difficult. So yeah, getting to know new people was hard. That was a scary thing.
Were you kind of just, you know, a little shy, or was it like a next level type of shyness?
Yeah, the sort of person who would rather not make a fuss. I wouldn't call if I had to like book a restaurant. Well, I didn't have to do that at the time, but if I had to make a phone call, I would avoid it. That's sort of shy, and I would avoid big crowds and I'd try not to talk to anyone really. I'm okay one on one. Or I certainly was okay one-on-one, but as soon as it's a big group, I kind of shut down a bit.
You all should know by now how shy I was growing up, but here I am, me and Lee, two quiet, shy guys, chatting it up on a podcast for thousands of people to hear. It's no big deal, right? But seriously, that feeling is tough to shake, and if Lee was going to become an artist, he had to find a way to push past it. And let me tell you, the way he did that took some serious guts. While he was in university, Lee got a job at a local movie theater, or the cinema, whatever term you prefer, and that's where he met a pretty amazing girl. And were you really into movies at that time, or was it just a way for you to pay the bills?
At the time, yeah, definitely. I used to love films. So I did... I think it was one of my courses when I was at school was film studies. I really did enjoy films, and I kind of, this sounds really cheesy, the magic of the cinema at the time. I still enjoy that. It's just not as much as I enjoy painting. it worked out really well because it was a decent job doing something that I really enjoyed, and I got to see loads of free films and met my wife. So So at the time, definitely the ideal job.
Lee was studying to become a graphic designer, but the thought of having to create someone else's vision for the rest of your life just didn't sit right with him. He wanted to experiment. He wanted to do something all of his own, something that was from his mind. So he picked up a paintbrush, made a mess, and began chasing something that was entirely up to him.
I just knew that I wanted to work in design, but I knew that I would be kind of stuck to someone else's brief. I wanted something that would free that up a bit, that I could just experiment with. And for some reason, I just picked up a load of paints, just really cheap paints, and just started making a mess. I mean, the city, Bristol, is quite a creative city. There's a lot of artists there. I mean, most famously, Banksy's from Bristol. So there's loads. The street art scene was huge. And so having all of that just readily available would mean that inspiration was just there.
Graphic design is one of these things that you can do at a table, even at a noisy coffee shop if you got headphones in. But painting, especially on wood and canvas, it's big, makes a real mess. You're going to need a lot of space. You're going to need a studio. And if you listen closely to this episode, or maybe not so closely, you'll hear Lee painting or drawing while we talk, right from the comfort of his backyard studio. But trust me, his studio setup, the very first one, was a lot weirder than what he has now.
So I started painting. I sold my bed, and I ripped up the carpet. I basically slept at my girlfriend, now wife, place every night, and I just went back to work. I worked loads of small jobs, and then just painted. I ripped up the carpet as well. I didn't get my deposit back. I was an awful tenant. That was really bad. I decorated after I left, but then I had some very angry calls from them. But at the time, I was young and silly. So I just paint all the time, every day. And then I created so much work I didn't know what to do with. So I used to lug it down to the harbour side, which is it's probably about a half-hour walk. And I would sit on the harbour side and try and sell my paintings. And it was a real mishmash, because I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to paint. I just knew I wanted to paint at that point. So it was like abstract pieces, you know, like Jackson Pollock ripoffs and stencils and all this weird stuff. And then eventually I did find, yeah, I wanted to do portraits, and I kind of went with that. But yeah, it was really weird, but quite fun.
That sounds like full-on bohemian art lifestyle. And honestly, for someone with a deep need to make art, that kind of freedom, it's really perfect.
I had some horrible pink carpet when I moved in, so I ripped it up. I don't really know why I ripped it up, because it was horrible. I could have just left it. Got rid of basically pretty much all the furniture was gone, other than a wardrobe, which I didn't use. Sold the bed and just painted every day. It's quite, when I look back, it sounds quite bohemian and quite arty. At the time, it didn't feel like it. But yeah, it sounds quite, besides being a bit naughty, it did sound quite cool, actually.
So during this bohemian art phase, what were you doing for money? What were you, how were you paying the bills?
Didn't have the best portfolio when I left uni, because I, as with everyone at uni, I dicked about a bit and didn't really do enough work. So I worked handing out a free paper at 6 a.m, which earned me £10 an hour. It's pretty good, actually. Did that for 3 hours. Then I went over to a stock room in a shop where I worked another like 3 or 4 hours. Then I had a break, which was painting. And then I worked in an off license. So I think it was like 8 till midnight or something, 8 to 11.
And what did it feel like during this time? Just when you were constantly working and painting day in and day out, what was your mindset like?
I think I was just quite energized. I was focused on, so in between the painting, I was trying to put the portfolio together to get some design work. So I was focused. I knew I had to just do a load of these shit jobs before I could get something good. Yeah, I've always had quite a lot of energy and I'm a fairly optimistic person, quite chipper. So I, just focused and got on with it.
Eventually, Lee had built his resume up enough to land him a pretty sweet design job. Well, pretty sweet. It was okay. That, of course, gave him more stability and a better time frame for working in his paintings.
After, I think it was a year almost of doing those really shitty jobs, I got fairly basic design job, but it was working for a company called the Yellow Pages. It was basically a phone directory book. Like, it was proper old school. I don't think it exists anymore. I was designing the ads for those, and I did that 4 till midnight, which afforded me a lot of time in the day, because my girlfriend was was working regular days, you know, regular shifts at work. So I would wake up, paint, go to work, come back, hang out for a bit, and then do the same thing again. And then eventually I got a design job working for a quite cool design agency and working on loads of cool brands as well. Like, I thought they were cool, actually. But looking by now, I don't think they're so cool. Like, they're quite horrible, really. So at the time, I was like, this is so exciting. And then, you know, as I grew up and became more cynical, I realized they're horrible brands to work for.
Of course, the paintings did not stop. He kept showing up for it, kept pushing that brush to the surface, kept trying to bring his ideas to life.
So painting, for me, is quite cathartic. I have a compulsion. I have to do it, you know? I always have to do it. Like, I'm in the studio right now looking at all the paintings and I'm still working on them. I just will, I think I'll always do that. Don't really get tired of it.
Unlike the more rigid work he might do for design clients, his paintings are different. They leave him feeling something deeper. He feels satisfied, fulfilled, like it's feeding his soul instead of just his bank account.
Yeah, I get a lot of energy out, a lot of, I guess, nervous energy, maybe. I don't really know. It just it feels really good. And then when I've got a series of paintings, I don't know, they just, I'm very proud of them at the time, and then I hide them away and move on to the next thing.
Of course, he wanted to start selling his works and maybe, just maybe, do it full time. So facing down his social anxiety, he took his paintings, walked them down to the harbor side, and just set up shop. Old school, before the internet, before Instagram, just him, the art, and whoever would stop to look.
Yeah, so there were two places. One was like an organized art market that I ended up joining, which wasn't very far from where I was sitting before. So, but I would go down to the harbor side where it was just undercover, and I would just sit and put a load of paintings up and hope people walking past would buy some. I remember it being not hugely successful and being very cold. So. Yeah.
And how often were you doing this, where you were going into the harbor and getting your works hung up in bars and things?
Every other weekend, pretty much, just to see what I could do. And I would then, I started branching out to local bars and restaurants to put work up, which they kind of got, I got a real taste for it then, because that's when they really started to sell, because drunk people like to buy art, apparently.
So tell me, how did that even start? I mean, walking into a bar and asking, hey, can I hang up art? That would have definitely terrified me. I don't know how you did that, being shy.
I didn't always walk in with loads of work. I would sometimes go in beforehand and say, you put artwork up. I'd like to put some artwork up if you're interested. Go from there. I found a lot of the time I would go in and talk directly to two people, and that helped. People tend to ignore emails, but they find it hard to ignore the person standing in front of them. So. And being able to do that, like, put them on the walls of bars and restaurants, really open things up because more people saw the work.
So you didn't feel nervous at all? No hesitation whatsoever?
I always got felt a bit sick and nervous before doing it, but I knew that I had to, so I just did it. I still get nervous now before any, like, exhibitions or anything. If I've got a solo show, I won't be able to eat beforehand, and I will feel horribly sick and just get like a bit shaky. But then once I push myself through it, kind of relax a bit, and the energy kind of takes over, I guess.
Like I said at the beginning of the episode, you have to step out of your comfort zone. Lee didn't like going into these bars trying to ask them to hang his works, but he knew he had to. He knew he wanted to become an artist. He wanted to sell his works, and this is what he had to do. Lee's wife has always been incredibly supportive of his dream. I mean, when he was basically living in a trashed apartment turned art studio, she let him crash at her place every night. Later, when they got their first home together, she even let him turn their dining room into a studio. That's freaking love, man, and super supportive.
So I worked for Yellow Pages for a year and then got a proper agency job, and I worked there for 8 years and still painting every day. And then I changed to another agency, and I lasted 2 years. And my son was turning, my firstborn was turning 6 months old. And I realized, actually, I don't want to be working for these agencies anymore. Like, I want to be freelance and have a bit more time. all the while, I'm still, at this point, I'm still painting every single day. I had, we managed to buy our own house. The, what would be the dining room, I turned into my studio. My wife is very sort of accepting and supportive. So I turned this dining room into the studio. And it wasn't until, Rex, my eldest, was born, that realized we can't do that. I need a designated space that isn't in the house.
After years of design work, years of working off someone else's brief, Lee was getting sick of it. He was itching to take that leap, to leave it and try to be a full-time artist.
So I was working for this design agency. I realized I didn't want to do that anymore. So I just quit and went freelance as a designer. And luckily I'd had a lot of contacts over the years. I managed to keep in touch with lots of people and got lots of work as a freelancer. So about a month after going freelance, I built a studio at the end of the garden, which is where I'm sitting right now. And moved everything out there. And from then, I've slowly moved away from design. I still do it, but not very often. I've switched, so I spend more time doing painting. It's almost full time, but not, because every now and then a freelance job will come in and that will take up loads of time. But yeah, it's more often than not, I'm painting.
And at this point, he wasn't sitting at the harbor side anymore, freezing, trying to make a sale. He was finally using the internet to his advantage.
I'm trying to think when I started selling online, maybe 2012. So I started working with, I had my own shop on Big Cartel, and then I started selling on Saatchi and a site called Artfinder, and those things alone just helped keep things going. And then alongside that, I'd also started working with galleries. So couple of local galleries, but also working with a few in London. And that really helped, just getting seen by new people. And having work online is what really made everything move in the direction I wanted it to go. The audience is so big, the internet, anyone can see it. And that just really helped.
Do you remember getting, say, your first real art show around this time, or what was that like?
Do you know what? I actually don't remember. There was one in Bristol called Upfest. They have a gallery and they organize this street art festival I mentioned earlier. I remember being included in their group shows. It was like a Christmas show or something. And then there was another local Bristol gallery that had me in a group show. But I think I remember the first ever proper show I did was actually... I used a squat. It was a squat. It was an old shop that had loads of squatters in. And I used that. And I had a show in there. It was in a slightly edgier side of Bristol. It's a place called Stoats Croft. I'd say it's a bit bohemian, but a bit edgy. So I had this squat that I put loads of work up on the walls and had it for a weekend of trying to sell artwork, and that was 2010. I think that was probably my first proper show that at least I put on.
One of the things that I really admire about Lee is how he just goes for it. He doesn't wait for permission. He made a studio in the dining room. He hung art in bars. He even put together a show in a squatter building. That drive, that's something special. Do you remember the moment it hit you? Like, okay, I'm officially an artist, or maybe just like you've always been an artist, but you're now like a working artist.
I've always thought of myself as an artist, but I was kind of almost shy in terms of saying it out loud to people. It's like a self-awareness, I guess, where you feel like they're judging you or not. You don't live up to the title. There was one point where I made a really big sale, basically. I'd painted, made some canvas, actually, that was 6 foot by 4 foot. I just decided one day I wanted to paint a massive painting. I wanted to do loads of them. That was it. So I made this huge painting and I sold it. And it was at that point that I was like, I can do this. I'm going to do this all the time. I remember the painting was based on a song by Tom Waits. So he's one of my favorite musicians, and the song was from the album The Black Rider. The lyric is, it ain't no sin to take off your skin and dance around in your bones. And so I painted this huge painting of a dancing skeleton holding holding a floppy wad of skin. But it was really bright and colourful. Like it was quite dark, but it was really, there's a juxtaposition with the bright colours, which I love doing. And I sold that, and I sold it on Artfinder. I think it sold for something like £3,500. It was like really, you know, it was something. That was a big, that was huge. That was more than I was earning. I don't even know how I got to that price. I just think years of slowly increasing them. And I just felt like I'd put loads of work into it. And that was huge. And it deserved a good price. And I remember doing that. And I think that was before my son was born, actually. So at that point, I was working full time at that point. And that's, yeah, when I got that, I was like, yes, this is, I can do this. I remember telling my wife, I was like, I can make this work. I can do this.
So when you had made the leap, leaving your day job to go full force into freelancing and your paintings, was it scary? How did you feel?
Yeah, it was terrifying. We knew it was the right decision, but it was scary. I'd saved up 6 months worth of income so that I had a buffer, basically. I luckily didn't have to use it. I had loads of work come in. It was the glory days of 2017. it was terrifying. I think it is for everyone. It's that going from that leap, taking the leap from permanent employment where you know you're going to get paid every month to not knowing if you're actually going to get any work, let alone get paid for that work. But it was worth it. Totally worth it.
And so after that, were you feeling happier day to day working for yourself, even with the stress of not having a steady paycheck or what have you? Was it worth it being your own boss?
Yeah, absolutely. Having the freedom to do whatever I wanted with my painting and whenever I wanted, and also choosing who I worked for, that was, yeah, super liberating. And when you freelance, you can charge more. So I felt better. I felt loads better.
These days, Lee works with a gallery in the UK. He's regularly creating works and doing shows with them. On top of that, he's got his own art sales and freelance design gigs. Having a few different income streams gives him a bit more stability in a career path that's usually anything but stable. But the thing is, Lee never stops making. He feels sketchbooks like nobody else. They're packed with ideas, illustrations, little moments, scenes. Honestly, they feel like self-contained little stories. He was kind enough to send me one of these, and I find myself flipping through it all the time while I'm working. It's endlessly inspiring. And so for you, how do you keep the ideas flowing? How do you, you know, avoid creative blocks, that sort of thing?
So I keep notes on my phone, but I also have a whole bookshelf of sketchbooks where I scribble ideas and little notes to myself. So I've got a sketchbook next to me now. I've got so many as well. And I take a sketchbook with me everywhere because you never know when something's going to kind of come into my head and I need to get it down before it goes. And by having all of these sketchbooks, it means I'm always ready to do something. And also I work in between canvas pieces that I do for the gallery that I work with. I do loads on paper where it's using spray paint and it's all very much of the moment, quite abstract, quite macabre as well, but with these bright colors, with it being on paper and spray paint, I can do it very quickly. And so I find out a lot of the time, if I'm struggling with any ideas or I'm not ready to move forward with something, I will just do some of these portraits on paper. Kind of like it's a good way of loosening up and also getting rid of that very nervous energy and excitement before starting something that needs a bit more focus. I love doing those as well. They're really weird. I would describe them as pretty ugly, but I love doing them.
I love that you're not just trying to make cool images, that you're sort of always looking for a story to tell.
Yeah, I do. Some of the work, I don't have a specific story, but because it's done in the moment, but I want to keep it. I try and create it in a way that people can make their own story. I want people to see what they want to see and not necessarily what I want them to see. I think it's important to have a theme or a story that you're trying to get across, but I'm not concerned about it getting across, I guess. I want people to take what they want from the work, which is also why I give them really, really absurd titles. So the titles have no relation to the work whatsoever. I usually take them from song lyrics, misheard song lyrics, snippets of conversation I've overheard that when taken out of context, I think are quite funny. But there's lots of wordplay, puns, stuff like that. And I do that because, firstly, it entertains me. I like doing it. And also, it doesn't direct the viewer. So the viewer can look at a painting, and it could be called, like, Nigel Does Salsa on Tuesdays. And they're not going to be taken down one route because it's so obscure. If you go through any of the paintings and they've got titles next to them, you'll see that they're just completely absurd.
About right now, what's next for you? What are you working on at the moment?
I've got a series that I'm working on at the moment, which is about the analogy of the black dog. It's like in traditional English folklore, the black dog is like a bad omen, but it's also more modern times. It has been referred to, it's like an analogy for depression. I think Winston Churchill said something about his black dog at one point. I find that very interesting. I want to explore that as a theme, which isn't, it's not the most commercially viable work, because not everyone wants a picture that always depicts depression on their wall. But I think it's something that's interesting and has merit. So I'm dabbling at the moment. I've done two so far that have this figure with a black dog, and then everything is really bright and colorful. And like one of the figures is dressed as Batman because I love Batman. And also it represents like the mask that people wear to hide the depression, but the depression is still very much there and dominant in the picture. I'm hoping to find a smarter way of doing this, but at the moment that's what I've got. That's something I want to explore, and I see myself doing more of is exploring people and their stories and how they're feeling, and having work that kind of represents that.
Well, you all know I'm a sucker for telling stories and people's feelings, so this type of work is right up my alley. And looking around where you've come, having this art career, how does it feel? How does it feel that you're a full-time artist?
I feel very fortunate because I know so many artists that aren't able to do that just yet. I've had a very supportive partner and friends and family, and I think having a support network has been huge. I think it's a real slog. I mean, it's a lot of work, but just really focused on it. But yeah, I'm happy. I want it to go further, as far as it can possibly go. Trying to shake the notion of becoming a blue chip artist, because it's a nice idea getting paid tens and hundreds of thousands for a painting, but it's not really realistic.
For Lee, there was no option other than to face his discomfort, to work with the friction, and hope it led someplace great. He needed a studio, so he tore up his apartment and made one. He wanted people to buy his work, so he went out and sat in the cold, hoping somebody would notice. He had to work all those mundane day jobs to keep the supplies coming in, so that he could keep adding fuel to the flames, which kept his dream going. In this life, there are no guarantees, but there are some pretty indisputable facts. For becoming an artist like Lee, you need to be consistent. You need to step outside of your comfort zone, and you need to never give up. First, you need to be consistent, constantly making art, trying to push the boundaries. Second, you need to step outside of your comfort zone. Don't just stay doing what you know is comfortable and nice. You need to add friction. You need to try and grow that spark. And you need to never give up. It doesn't happen overnight. To become an artist takes years, maybe even decades. And you have to keep going. If you have that need to create inside of you, and then there's no question on if you should let that flame die. You need to keep feeding it so it can burn as bright as possible. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Myers Show podcast. We're coming close to episode 60 of the podcast. It's incredible. It feels like just the other day I was making episode 1. So, I mean, I just can't believe where we're at right now. Thank you, everyone who listens. If you enjoy the show, please consider collecting a print on themartyrsreel.com. That way you're helping me, you know, continue to fund the show and keep it running while also helping the artist out. And you get a print as well, which gets to hang on your house and inspire you every day. So thank you so much for listening. And I'll see you in the next episode.